So the other day, this past weekend, I took my daughter to go meet a friend of hers at a playground, sort of like a play day because kids can socialize outdoors. And my wife came along and we were chatting with the other kid's mom. And she was like, I like the bit on your podcast where you're like, cats are racist. I was like,
Oops.
what?
Oh my God.
And my wife just turned to me and shot daggers out of her eyes.
Oh my God. It's always so weird when you find out people you know listen. That has happened to me, and I'm like, oh, okay, you're listening.
So I started running through the mental Rolodex. I was like, have I talked about these people? Have I said anything bad about these people?
You probably have.
Because I'm reckless as fuck.
You are. You talk shit on people you know in real life all the time.
That's why they love me.
Yeah. I had a friend that was, he listened in the beginning and he really wanted to come on. He's a really smart guy, but he's also kind of liberal. And so the more he listened, the more he realized we're way left. And he kept wanting to like tell me like how we were wrong. And I was just like, now I'm like, is he still listening 2 years later? I don't know.
Bring him on the show.
I mean, you want to? He wants to do the show.
Sure, why not?
All
You can have
right.
a dissenting view as long as it's not a fascist view.
It's not, but
Exactly, yeah.
yeah, it's not a fa it's no, I don't want to have any fascists on
We
the
don't
show.
hate liberals on this show. We just disagree with them on a lot of issues.
Because we're right and
Yeah,
they're wrong.
pretty much. Welcome back to Eat the Press, guys.
Welcome back.
So I think we're going to dive right in. I'm sure, as most of you know, one of the biggest stories right now is the fallout of the police shooting of an unarmed black man in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. It's just outside of Minneapolis and St.
Right. And if you're not aware, the Derek Chauvin, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Trial is happening right now.
Yeah, in the same metropolitan. Derek Chauvin, the police officer on trial for the murder of George Floyd.
Yes, it's happening right now. These fucking cops can't even, in the middle of like the one of the biggest trials, can't even keep their guns in their pants.
The weather gets warm. Weather gets warm, cops start acting up.
Anyways, but go ahead.
So, yeah, as expected, the Twin Cities are a bit of a powder keg right now.
Yes. As is Portland, which I saw yesterday.
Portland's always going.
It
I
is.
respect Portland.
I know they're like the they're like our t test testing grounds, I guess.
Well, they're not our testing ground. They're the fascist testing ground.
Right,
That's
that's
where
what I
they go. Yeah.
right.
Because, and the reason for that is Portland has a large community of anti-fascists who come out and do shit. And they know if they can win in Portland, they can win in any US city. So that's why they're constantly testing Portland.
Right.
But we digress.
Already.
Yeah. So yesterday, in the aftermath of the shooting incident, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib said that she was done with policing in the communities, done with militarization. She just wanted no more policing.
Yes.
Now, lots of people on the right criticized, and by on the right, I mean also centrist Democrats, criticized the left for defund the police and adding that rhetoric. But before yesterday, no mainstream elected Dem has called for police abolition.
I did not know that. I thought AOC had.
She's talked about defund, but like,
She hasn't come out like hardcore on it.
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she's very much the politician.
Oh, for sure. Listen, I've fangirled her on in the past, but I realize who she is. She's a politician, for sure. And she is really rides with the Dems. I mean, she is a Democrat, so she's gonna do the party line when it comes down to it.
We'll touch on AOC a little bit later.
Okay.
Because I'm less down on her than you are, but
You are. But I was more up on her than you were. So
that's true.
that's, it balances out. I think just as a digression, I just came to the realization that there isn't going to be change from within the Democratic Party ever, no matter how, quote, radical a politician may seem. They're not never, ever going to be admitted to that party if they want to destroy the system that we live in. That's just not going to happen. And she did put on a little bit of like, let's destroy the system a little bit.
You know, this is where you and I disagree. I think she's a lot like Elizabeth Warren in that they've always been capitalists. They've always stated that they were capitalists. And I think anytime we see someone left of the party, we start to project socialism onto them. They really just believe in a more compassionate form of capitalism. I don't think that can actually take hold in the United States, but I don't. These women aren't dishonest. That's who they are, and that's what they believe.
Well, I would say that about Elizabeth Warren for sure. She has always publicly said, I am a capitalist. I think AOC has never publicly said, I am a capitalist. She uses a lot of socialism language, but then underneath that, she still is a capitalist. That's my impression. And I'm not here to hate on her like everyone else on Twitter does. I'm just saying, you know, words and actions are different.
There's a TikTok video where a young Black woman is strumming a ukulele and just singing over and over again, socialism's not when the government does stuff.
Okay.
And like AOC wants the government to do stuff.
Right.
But because that's so foreign to Americans, you're like, oh, healthcare, good wages, right. Must be socialism.
Right. Well, that's my husband and I were talking about this. This is what the right and, you know, especially does well is everything that is socialism is the boogeyman for everything. Although I will say liberals do that, too. It's just the right is way more loud about it.
Yeah. And wokeness. Wokeness
yes,
is the boogeyman.
I hate when people talk about wokeness. Shut up.
Okay, but back to Rashida Tlaib.
Yes.
Saying that it was time to end policing. We've talked about this before on the show. It is the end of policing. Police abolition is radical in that it's a huge departure from what we currently have. But this is something that's been discussed and studied for years.
Yeah, since at least the 80s, there has been a movement.
And I think abolition entered the mainstream consciousness probably about a year and a half ago, but it's never been uttered by an elected. Yeah.
That's pretty huge. I did see a poll. I was reading a poll that came out last year, so I don't know if it's still relevant, but something like half of all Americans want to defund the police in some aspect, and something like, or maybe wait, maybe it's a third. It might be a third. I might be wrong. But then it's half of Democrats want to do it. So it's like a third of all people want to defund the police in some capacity, and a half of Democrats are on board with that. So that's pretty huge if you think about it.
Well, granted, this cannot be done at a federal level. But I think it's time that that conversation comes into the light. Of course, right-wing pundits and talking heads made big jokes about it. They tried to paint her as a hypocrite because she works in a building that has police protection. Mm-hmm. But all the jokes were like, oh, you don't want police, but you know we would kill you if you didn't have the police. Like, we would personally kill you.
That's insane. Also, let's be honest, in the insurrection in January, the police were a very minimal presence. And I know that that was a higher up decision, but come on, they barely protected the Capitol.
Right. And that goes back to what we're saying. They're not very effective. They're not an effective organization.
No. And I will say just from my own interactions with them, and I am not a Black person, so I obviously have had better treatment by them. I've never felt protected by them. I've never felt safe. They've never done anything to help me. They've always, in almost every interaction, it's been harassment or like, we don't care. We're not helping you. And that's me. I'm not even a Black person. So it's like, that's quote, good treatment.
I don't think people realize how little police do and how much we fund them.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the NYPD, which has one of those fancy new Boston Scientific robot dogs.
I hate those things. They were always going to be for the police. Like, let's be honest. Did you see that Black Mirror episode with them?
Not a West Black Mirror. I'm not a fucking nerd.
Okay, you are a fucking nerd, so I don't know why you haven't watched it. You should watch it. It's very scary.
I watched the episode with Bryce Dallas Howard, Social Credits.
Okay, yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, so yeah.
This one was about how it's actually, I'm going to try to summarize it really, really quick. Basically, it's sometime in the future. It was shot in black and white. You know, it's an artistic choice. And it's humans basically trying to survive. Like, they're going to warehouses and trying to get food. And the thing is everything, there's just these robot dogs and they kill everybody. There's nobody controlling them as far as we know. They're just sentient on their own and they're terrorizing people and they're the ones in charge. So,
this is like why I don't fuck with dogs.
Oh, you don't fuck with dogs. I love dogs.
I know you love dogs. I am American. I was born in America, raised here, mm-hmm. but there's some of the genetic memory. The most African thing about me is my hatred of dogs.
I get that. I totally get that. And you know what? My dad, you know, there's a thing in Middle Eastern countries that they don't really like dogs either. So it was very hard to get my dad to get us a dog growing up.
No, it's Black people. It's Middle East. I mean, when I say Black people, it's it's Africans. It's the Middle East. It is South Asia.
Mm-hmm.
People with good sense don't trust the dogs because that's what happens if you leave them to their own devices.
Robot dogs. Yes, I will say.
Dogs. And all dogs are cops.
Yes, and all cats are what? Bastards?
Yeah, it's true. Like, dogs literally domesticated themselves.
They did. But so did cats, basically. Did they? Yeah, they basically just came around and was like, give us food. Same with dogs. Give us food.
And but like, people use dogs to like police their sheep and goats and shit. Dogs are cops.
That is true. Wow.
Like literal police for like you. There are dogs working for the cops right now.
I know. Not cats, dogs.
Yeah. So dogs, bad. Robots, racist. So when you combine the two.
Yeah, bad.
And the NYPD has these robot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I learned recently that New York's police budget is higher than North Korea's military budget.
That's fucking insane. Why? To terrorize the population.
Yeah, that's the only reason. It's not to stop crime.
It's not because they don't. Do not stop crime.
And New York City has very low levels of gun violence and homicide because you can't buy a gun anywhere near New York City.
No, you cannot. After Donald Trump was elected, me and my husband were like, should we get a gun? And we looked into it and we're like, it's not going to happen here. You have to go to the police department and they have to approve you to get a gun.
Yeah. And it's not like Chicago where you just drive 7 miles to Indiana and buy all the guns you want. Like, you can't get them in New Jersey. You can't get them in Connecticut.
Right. Right. Anyways. Cops in New York City have a bloated budget just as cops everywhere do. I really am starting to see them as this own separate fascist independent gang.
Well, in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, there is a thin blue line flag flying at their police headquarters.
Yes, so they have their own flag.
Yes, like an independent nation. And this flag is not the thin blue line on the American flag. It is completely divorced of the American flag.
Wow.
And like, why does this faction have its own flag? Like, that is nationalization.
Right.
They're basically beholden only to themselves and each other.
Wow. Let's hold them accountable bullshit is bullshit. There is no holding them accountable in any way.
Yeah, and you see this in every big city. Every time there's supposedly a liberal mayor, they can't rein in the police. Because the truth is, they don't have power over the police.
Yeah, where's the mayor going to get their own army? maybe the governor with the National Guard, but then, oh God, that's a lot. Basically, the National Guard against the police.
I would like to see it.
Love to see it. I was going to say something. Oh, should I tell the story about how I really, sometimes you just got to email your elected officials, even though it doesn't do anything. They say it does. It doesn't. I told you, I messaged Abigail Spanberger, and just for the record, she's CIA. So she's a cop. I mean, she's a spook, but she's also a cop, basically. You know, she, I had emailed her last year, and she emailed me back in February and was like, because I had emailed about defund the police, and she emailed me back and she said something along the lines of defund the police is not what we legislators are trying to do. And I'm like, I don't care.
Like, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I want you to defund the police. And then I ended that message saying, I hope she loses. She's a cop and she's just a white lady upholding white supremacy.
You should primary her.
Come on. Get out of here. I do not want to be a politician. I just want to talk shit about them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, aren't you going to run for mayor?
Oh, no, I am mayor now.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You got some issues with potholes in Pittsburgh? At eatthepress@twitter.com.
Uh-huh. We will handle it.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get back to the topic, which is the mainstreaming of defund the police, abolish the police.
Yeah, that's the difference. We'd heard hints of defunding in mainstream public discourse, but Tlaib was talking about abolition. She's mm-hmm. like, end policing.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's probably privately felt this way for probably a long time, I would guess. But, you know, it's hard for politicians to say publicly what they actually believe.
And we've discussed this before. This can be done.
Mm-hmm. You convinced me of it when we talked about this on an earlier episode, because I was like, how are we going to get rid of them? You know,
and the example is some communities already don't have police.
Mm-hmm. A lot of white communities don't get policed.
Yeah, there are not police in affluent communities, and people are not tearing themselves apart.
Right, but there's this perception that if you're poor, clearly you're going to be a criminal. So we need to police them.
And we were talking the other day offline about so-called victimless crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or nonviolent crimes.
Yes.
And I realized that the only nonviolent offense that is actually a crime and should be a crime is theft. All other nonviolent offense are human behaviors that have been criminalized
yes.
by the state.
Yes.
You know, that is, you know, drug-related offenses, sex work.
Right.
That sort of thing. Or yeah, playing your music too loud, or just
right
being somewhere, just physically being in a space
right
where someone doesn't want you. These behaviors are not inherently harmful.
No, they're just human behaviors that have right. been criminalized.
And in terms of the actual nonviolent crimes, like theft, mm-hmm. I take something that is yours, that is criminal. I have done you harm. Mm-hmm. Police don't stop theft.
No, they steal. What is it called? When they
civil forfeiture.
Yeah, civil forfeiture. They just take shit without even there being a judgment on whether somebody is guilty of something or not. They just take your shit.
Exactly. And most violent crimes are not actually solved. And even if those are solved, they're not prevented by police.
No, they're not. Dude,
police do not prevent crimes. That is a fact.
No, did I ever tell you how when I lived in Sunset Park, I think you came to visit us there. It was somewhat of a gang neighborhood. I can't remember if it was Crips or Bloods. I can't remember. But I was gone one day and I came home and there were cops right outside my house, and there was like blood like on the sidewalk and then up on my steps. And I was like, oh, what happened here? And they were like, well, somebody just had their head beat in with a steel pipe. And we took them. This all happened. I'm like, okay, are you guys going to clean up this blood? And they're like, no, we don't clean up blood if the person didn't die. Can you believe that?
So did you have to clean? I'm sure you had the super or the landlord do it.
I had the landlord do it, but I was like, what the fuck? Like, we're just here. What do you do?
I live in a relatively affluent, mostly white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see cops around here.
I mean, same. I mean, yeah, I don't really see. That's not true. There's a precinct a mile away. I see them, but they don't really harass people out here as far as I can tell.
No. And is it chaos where you live?
Hell no.
We in the communities keep ourselves safe. We keep each other safe.
Yes. What I read when I was reading up on the history of policing was that before there was police, and this is hundreds of years ago, they made people take turns being the police, basically. But also, if you were wronged, if somebody stole something from you or whatever, it was basically handled in a sort of civil court where you hash it out with your perpetrator. We could go back to that.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but how the concept of vendetta is actually a Western concept. It's a Mediterranean concept. It's like in older African civilizations, if you killed my son,
mm-hmm.
we would simply meet and you would give me your son.
What?
Yes, because I don't want revenge. I need that extra help in the fields.
Right.
And communities handle that.
Right. That's basically what it was, is communities handling their problems.
And it was restorative justice. It wasn't punitive. You make right the harm that you have done.
Right. And that's the thing, is that the police now and always have never been here to protect us. They've always been here to serve the ruling class and the wealthy and protect their shit. That's what they're there for.
Exactly. And when justice is served, air quotes, it's really about punishing someone. It's not mm-hmm. about rectifying wrongs.
Right. And they will say, oh, we're this, the punishment is a deterrent or whatever. Not true. I don't think that's ever been shown to be true. Nor does being punished and being put in prison lessen
recidivism. Yeah.
I don't know that that is a, I don't have the data in for me, but I'm pretty sure it is not a thing.
Prison is a good place to learn how to be a criminal. So moving along, the other thing we want to talk about is I have been watching on Disney Plus Marvel's Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
And I really enjoy this show because I enjoy all of these shows.
I liked WandaVision.
I'm not smart. It's a fun show.
It was.
And I've seen people online on the right criticizing Falcon and the Winter Soldier for being a little bit too woke and leftist political. And I'm watching, it's like, oh, no. This is American imperialist propaganda.
Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't watched any of the MCU. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of the MCU properties, not most of them I haven't seen, but I did watch WandaVision, like I said, and a couple of them I have watched, but they weren't Guardians of the Galaxy, that kind of thing, which there's no real military propaganda in that.
But as it turns out, Marvel has the Pentagon consult on most of its films.
Yes.
And not just Marvel, Hollywood in general.
Yes, they have had a relationship since the very beginning of Hollywood, basically, and even more so since I think Top Gun was the one of the first films that they really, really started. They call it a mutual exploitation. That's the relationship.
And so what happens is the Pentagon gets these scripts before the film's release, and sometimes they actually submit notes and changes.
Yeah, not before the film's release, before it goes into production. They can be granted line edit approval, which is line by line. They can be like, not this line, no.
So even when things appear to be mildly critical of the military-industrial complex, mm-hmm. they really aren't. It's just enough to make you think it's objective.
Right.
But the American imperialist machine is always ultimately the good guys.
Yes, there are a few movies I was reading that did not get collaboration with the DOD, which was like Platoon, Apocalypse Now, those types of movies they don't consult on, because if you are not going to paint the military in a positive light, they want nothing to do with it.
And, you know, it's pretty much impossible to paint the military in a positive light in a Vietnam War film. So those are the ones.
Right. I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, Apocalypse Now is basically an adaptation of Heart of Darkness.
Interesting.
Just set in the Vietnam War.
Okay. I did not know that. Well, Heart of Darkness has its own problems as well.
Yeah, not getting into Conrad right now.
Okay, yeah, let's not.
Oh, you know, my favorite Conrad fact? Mm. He literally detested the English language.
What? I did.
Yeah, Joseph Conrad's a native Polish speaker.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't just that English was a foreign language. He just thought it was ugly. It had no beauty. It had no poetry. And then he's like one of the most celebrated authors of the English language.
I mean, is he wrong? I don't know. I'm a writer. Why would I say, is he wrong? I don't know what's wrong with me.
But yeah, and so I started thinking about, I will talk about specifically about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay. This is all you, because I have not watched it.
So on surface, it looks critical of America. It touches on issues of race. Mm-hmm. It touches on imperialism. And there is a terrorist organization that is working. Well, an organization that's painted as a terrorist organization, but it's actually a group of like-minded humanitarians who mm-hmm. are trying to create a more just, harmonious world without borders. Mm-hmm. And they're painted as being actually pretty good and well-meaning until they start murdering people.
Did you see that meme that went around, was it last week on Twitter, about how any villain in these movies is basically, you start to like it, midway through the movie, you're like, yeah, they're making a lot of sense. Yeah, uh-huh, I actually agree with them. And then they give them some completely random like thing for them to do, like blow up a building and kill innocent people, which isn't in line with their own politics. And then you go, oh yeah, they're the bad guy.
Yeah. And of course, the bad guy, the leader of this group, is a Black woman.
Of course.
Although I'm not entirely certain everyone knows she's Black.
Okay, why? I haven't seen the show.
She's just incredibly ethnically ambiguous.
Oh, okay.
But that is my superpower, spotting Negroes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can 99 times out of 100 tell you when someone's Black.
Okay. All right. That's quite a superpower. I can do that with like Arabs. I don't know. Anyways.
But this show has a golden opportunity mm-hmm. to take down some of the pillars of America. And in the comics, for years, they've done this.
Right. Because comics are not really, let's be honest, widely read.
Right. And they're also not part of a partnership with the Pentagon.
Right.
Marvel is actually one of the worst offenders in that. So they consulted the Pentagon for a few of their films. Mm-hmm. The Pentagon pulled out during the Avengers.
Yes.
Because in Avengers, the government felt that the government organization, S.H.I.E.L.D., had a little bit too much power and they did not want
to be portrayed that way.
Correct.
But then they came back for the next one of those, I think, because this is a spoiler. I haven't even seen it. I just read about this. It turns out that there's a secret terrorist group within SHIELD that is actually the bad guy. So it's not actually the government. That's how they got around that.
Yeah, it's such a cop out. There's an evil Nazi organization called Hydra in Marvel Comics lore, and in I believe Captain America: Civil War, it turns out that the government had been infiltrated by Hydra and it had for years, which always comes back to you can excuse America because for its atrocities because America never actually carried out those atrocities. It was secretly the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean. Yes, it was the Nazis because we did bring them into our government.
I was just going to say, you can't separate the two.
Yeah, but it wasn't a secret infiltration. It was actually a government program.
Right.
And like the Nazis literally studied the Jim Crow South.
Yes, they did. They were very impressed with it. They loved the Ku Klux Klan.
Right. So in that film, the government felt that Marvel had gone too far in making the government look bad. So they joined to consult again to rein Marvel in.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd made Captain Marvel, who was an Air Force pilot.
Captain Marvel?
Yes, in the film, Captain Marvel.
Wow.
And they literally used that film for Air Force recruiting commercials.
Yes, that's the thing that they do is they portray themselves, like I said, mutual exploitation. Because on Hollywood's end, they get access to tanks, planes, ships. They get to shoot those things basically for free. It's cost. It's not really for free, but it's at cost to operate so that the quote government isn't making a profit, unquote, but they are actually getting lots of free advertising and positive free advertising, I might add.
Yeah, so I'm not telling you what entertainment to enjoy and what not to enjoy. As I've said before, I watch this shit. I really have fun watching these films and these TV shows. They're not good. I'm not even going to call them guilty pleasures. I'm not guilty about it. I like watching dumb shit. It's fun.
Okay. Just always remember what is going on. That's all you have to do is just remember, oh, this is propaganda, which is funny because I sent this tweet to you last week, I think it was, or a couple days ago, how, you know, China is very out in the open with their, like, we're making government propaganda films. They basically state that. We say, oh God, can you believe they do that? But it's like, we do it too.
Yeah, I think China has a rule that every studio has to put out at least two government propaganda films a year, I think.
Right.
Which, but like, we watch them all the time and don't even have any idea.
Exactly. Most people don't even know this is government propaganda. And I'm sure the filmmakers would be like, no, it's not, but it is.
I don't want to get too deep into one show that you don't watch.
No, get it. It's fine. I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, good. All right. So in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Captain America has died. He died in one of the Avengers movies, and they've replaced him with this guy who, in the show, the theme is he doesn't live up to the standards of Captain America. He's not the symbol of America that Steve Rogers was.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, this guy is totally America. He is way more America than any other Captain America. And I really wish that's what they would lean on, because that would make it a far more interesting property.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're going to take his shield away, I'm sure. And they're going to make Anthony Mackie Black Flying Man.
Black Flying Man.
Yeah. And he's going to be Captain America and people are going to smile, but it's cheap.
It is.
It would
cheap.
Be far more interesting to say that other guy was who we pretended that we are.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is who we are. And we're just
so what makes him America? Like, in your eyes, what are the things that make him America? His flaws, obviously, but what are they?
It's definitely a crushing insecurity. It is a willingness to do violence and carry out atrocities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For what he believes is the American way. Like in the comics, at least like in the time that I've been reading it, Captain America was always interesting because there was the struggle between Steve Rogers, who was what America aspired to be,
mm-hmm.
working with and representing the actual country.
Mm-hmm.
And that tension made for interesting comics, but they won't do that with the Pentagon advising.
No, they will not. Also, too much money is on the line. And they want to appeal to everyone.
Yeah, Republicans buy sneakers.
That's right. Well, got anything else to say? I would just say, just remember it's propaganda. That's all.
Yeah, it's all propaganda. Don't try to take messages away from these things.
Yes, especially not the message, America is good. Don't take that message away.
No, but you know what's good? We're good. This show is good.
Yeah, we are. Guys, tell your friends.
Yeah. And you're good because you're listening to us. You are the good people.
Yeah. We love you guys. As always, our music is composed by our good friend, Kevin MacLeod. We love you, Kev.
Always.
Follow us at Yeet the Press on Twitter and on Instagram. Send us an email if you want. Tell us what you want us to talk about at yeetthepress@gmail.com.
Yeah, I mean, send us hate mail. If we said something you didn't like, let us know.
Yeah, just something. I mean, we do have people who listen who add us on Twitter, and we love you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, the feedback is so nice.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Because we do the show for you guys.
Yeah. Selfless.
I do this show because my wife doesn't want to hear me talk anymore. So.
Yeah, you know what my husband said this morning? He was like, I'm so tired of politics. And I was like, I don't even talk to you about politics, really. So it's not me. It's not me. Yeah, that's also why I do this. Yeah, rate us on iTunes, please. 5 stars. Leave us a review if you have it and you're listening right now. Just go push 5 stars.
Yeah, you don't even have to press 1 star 5 times. It's just the one all the way on the right.
Yeah, just do that. And until next week.
See you then.
Jason, see you later.